Mr. Gully, Reel 12. Any other memories of Cheltenham? Did you get any visits from high ranking people? What are your memories of him?
Well, not a lot, because he would have been down in a deep, quite a deep cigar, and then he made a speech, which is a bit of things which I remember. He said, "Men, you are going out equipped for the best that the British government can provide." And I looked down at my hands in 1914, three quarters of a man, I think, in the world. And I thought, good God, is that the best we can get? Who is this one over there? Winston Churchill. And he went round the ranks, the inspector of the division. Then we were inspected by King George. That was a surprise to me. I never thought of King George. He saw through a sword of fear on the ground. He looked a very able man. And of course, he saw it too. When I only see the thing in the papers, I'm being no further than John for that. And he won't be around soon enough. And of course, I'm on the line of down the lane. And we see how it's coming down the field. And we're told. We do thank you on 3 hearty tears for His Majesty. But that's not a great permission to church you. But when the king was there, the men were all standing there already, and his horseman came right down on his foot back, the British horseman. And here we were, over 800 JLI girls riding in a row. And of course, we got the hardest. We got the medicine of the king, got the king of Rome in his limousine later on, and he was fast, but of course, we were not even on the and he was weird as he went past. I suppose you remember that for the rest of the year. I don't remember that one. But there were two good as we had. We may have looked at them all the while, but it's Fairfield and King George.
And do you remember leaving the area for going abroad?
Going abroad? I remember everybody in the company when I was there. Because I was in the team. I think I remember from what they called me. I was there. Yes, I remember. Anyhow, on the day that we were going to get on the train, I was going to New York. And I said, well, I have a few more minutes. when we were at Cobham Queens, there was a bakery shop. And the girl that was in the bakery shop actually belonged to them. And she knew what she was working on in that area. So, of course, when we were working at Cobham Shop, I hired a few beers. I bought the Bob Martins, and he would say, what's the Bob Martins for? I said, oh, I'll think it's something. So, we went back and we asked him to go out, and he took me all the way down, and he had to be back to the party, and he had to be in the afternoon. We called him in the bathroom, and we were boiling the water for the meat of the tea, and the meat. What made me do it, I can never know what it is here. I picked up the two packets of Bob Martin's gold packets, and I emptied them in the water. Well, I didn't have any tea. Everybody else did. And the night time when the train left the Bluebook, the queue to the toilet, I had never known how I had, dare not which back of work. People say, have you ever heard of Parts Come Again? I say, no, I don't know what's coming. That must have been a bigger amount than I had. And the queues, that was years after when the children, I was talking with Jimmy Bates. And I just got to mention, and I want to say what the word, I want to use the word, but a toilet, was fully operation all the way from Cheltenham near the Bluebook. At least I cleared the whole company out that day.
What date did you leave? What date did you leave?
Oh, it was. Oh, I couldn't exactly give you a date. 42, it would be back in the 41, 42.
April 42. Were you given a send off from Cheltenham? Did the civilians turn out for you?
Oh, yes. We turned up. I think we marched down to the stadium, if I remember that one. Yes, we did. Marched down to the stadium. We had come there, even the police on the back and the side back telling everything. And boarded the train. Bought everybody out in the rooms of the Scotland. I can't think of anything else that happened. But we just until we landed in Gourock. This may as well have been a foreign country to me. I've never even heard of it, to tell you the truth. Somebody said it was in Scotland on the Clyde, and I said, oh, well, I'm on the Clyde. I've seen that in the geography group, but that was another place that I've never heard of. And now, standing in all its glory, was the Empress of Canada. And we stood there and knew, well, this is your lot today.
And of course, whilst you had the rumours, you did not know where you were going.
We still didn't know where we were going. It was odd blokes were taking bets on England, odd blokes were taking bets on the Middle East. My preference is for the Middle East, because see it. No, I haven't. The Japanese that took Hong Kong. And I have been reading papers about the Japanese and the way they trap people, trap prisoners and one thing and that. And I must see it. But my preference was for to have a go at the Germans rather than the Japanese. And I haven't, up to this day, changed my opinion. people were talking about the Japanese and said, they are the only little blokes, eh? Only about 5 foot odd. They're very short sighted. Well, that's a bit of a myth, that, because we did meet the Imperial Japanese Guard later on. And the bloke that kicked me wasn't short sighted. I was a full 200 yards away. Pretty good.
So you came and you went on board the ship.
Yes.
What was the accommodation like on the ship?
Terrible. In one word. When we got there were people aboard the ship. Queen Anne's nursing staff who were on the upper deck, captains. One or two officers with a bit of divisional signs on the sitting there. And we went aboard and we started going down and down and down and down. We saw the best part of the ship, which is a magnificent ship, the Cunard. We were in the bowels of the ship, below the waterline. Our whole company was on that one mess deck. It was explained, in that corner are the hammocks. Each man will take a hammock. And I've always been a quick thinker. So I said, fair enough, let them grab the hammocks. So they kept pulling the hammocks out, the whole company. And the hammocks were was like a little square box with the hammock filling, about the length of a single bed, and I'd already made my mind up. So as the hammocks went out, I got a bit nearer, and I started tossing them out, till there was one left, and I jumped in. And that was my birth, in the hammock box, from the day the boat left Gourock, till the day it docked in Bombay. The size of a mess deck, and long tables, of which about, I would say, I guess about 20 people sat. There were two mess orders each year who went out to draw the group for the table. At night time everything was cleared away and the hammocks were strung. And there was barely room. I imagine it's like that on a subway, barely room, to walk in between the hammocks. And people could never slip in hammocks. It takes a day or two out to sea before to really get good. Yeah, sleep in it. But fortunately, I found this hammock box while I was sailing. The only bad thing about it was that I had to get through to people. But they didn't just touch the hammocks in there all the morning until I got out. And using all my powers of persuasion as a corporal was there, that's it. The hammocks were all folded and they had to be stored tidy. So I said they're all strong and then we'd store them tidy after I removed my body from the bunker. Which was thereafter. The hammock, one thing was it sways with the ship leg, but the bunker I was in was pretty static. I've always been a good sleeper. And I had no real problem sleeping in there. Just the bottom was all wood, but no kinks in there. That's the way I slept the Bombay. I slept in the box.
What was the food like?
The food was pretty good. In fact, thoroughly enjoyed it, because after about 5 years, instead of 20 being the table, there was about 5 of us. A pretty good sale of me and Jimmy, and Jock McCleary, about 2 or 3 more privates. The rest were spending their time over the side. I've never seen so much seasick people. Of course, the beer bit went through the beer this year, and it was really good. And we were heartened by one of the ship's officers who came down and said, not to worry about U-boats. We go our speed, U-boats can't catch us.
So you weren't in a convoy?
We're in a convoy, but he said, if the convoy breaks, we're all right. So have no fear. We do so many knots that a U-boat, you'd have to catch us as a sitting duck, or, you know. Oh, we had a convoy. We had the United States Carrier Wasp, which was later sunk at Guadalcanal, I think. We had the Aurora, a cruiser, which I had the honour to visit at Sunderland later on. And we had 2 or 3 destroyers in escort. I think we had 2 cruisers, an aircraft carrier wasp, and 2 or 3 destroyers. And sailing out of Duroc, I've never seen so much depression in men's faces as I remember. Everybody was full of it when we got aboard, crapping jokes and things about this. Then came the time to cast off. I think there was about, 3,000 on board that ship? I'm nearly sure it was 3,000. All our brigade was in with the artillery, Queen Anne nurses, you know. And as the cast off pulled in the midstream in the Clyde, and we start to sail out, everybody was looking over the rails. Gradually, the islands in the Clyde, as you go down the Clyde, began to disappear, and suddenly we were out into the open sea, along with 20 or 30 more ships, merchantmen in the convoy, and silence crept over the ship. I think reality had really sunk in, and eyes were turning sort of to the left wing up, and we were looking at England, and people were saying, I was thinking, so I wonder if I want to get back, will I ever make it back here? The reality of it all started sinking then. I hadn't thought about it with having a large round here and conversation with people. But it was only then, as the last of the island started to disappear, the thoughts started coming to my mind. I wonder if I'll see him or that fire. I wonder if I'll get back to England. I wonder if I'll be alright. Will I be able to do this? Or will I be able to do that? And the whole mind started to go wrong. I've never had any qualms or thoughts about anything to them, but this, I sort of said, this is it, mate. Yeah? There's no turning back now, you're off. And as we guys before the war, I think of, what's it my time? And a cigarette and a bit of chat. There was a certain air of pessimism around him. And I thought that somebody would start to whistle, somebody would start to talk. And then the accent was starting to come through. it had gone. It just saw a curtain had come down and gone. That part of life was finished then. Something new is found. Yeah? Make the best of it. Put the attitude in it. But there were no bombs here, and no stinging, and no terrible.
Thinking about, you know, would you get back, would you see your parents again, going abroad and knowing probably you're going into action, had you any great fears about what might happen to you? Was there anything that you didn't want to happen? Obviously, yeah. Being killed would be one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to come back. I want to come back here useless. I want to come back through. I'd rather have my life quicken over for that. But I've been seeing all these pictures of Japanese prisoners of war. I said, another thing I don't want is to be kept prisoner. I said, I hope we want to be released. I was stealing my men. I said, at least the Germans the three prisoners were there, a bit of respect. And I think it's always lying about the man. Always there. But, keep your names on it, you know? You always keep your names on it. And, I thought, well, ultimately, like, mine looks to be pretty good. I could have been. In France, when we were wandering around, I could have seen rolled up and put in a cage. Nothing happened. I've had a good year or so in England, you know, when the people have gone out. Oh, they look like a shoulder. Who knows? The wall might be over, be the top. That was a bit of a hopeless question, you know, but you always think of these things like that would be a miracle, something will happen. But I never wanted to be, never wanted to be crippled or losing wings. I hope that there's either one or the other for me. I haven't made it without them.
We touched upon.
I used to think, well, maybe look here, maybe I can get a job in a stroller, you know. And then I thought, well, I'll not be able to bowl and play cricket if I get shot in a duel. Well, that one was out. Where can you get shot out of it? But all sorts of silly things came into mind.
We touched briefly on the food. Was it better than what you'd been used to in England? The food on the ship?
Oh, yes. Yeah, the food was really good. The bread was quite baked. Baked and eggs for breakfast. Lunch. The sandwich was better than what Romney had been given us at the time.
Were your decks inspected regularly?
Yes, inspections. Well, it was missed out. We still did the training. We are training all the best decks. And then we did room markers. Each battalion was allowed a certain DA or a certain allocation. And we did physical training.
And this was marching round the deck?
Marching round the deck. And of course, when the ship had started, it's surprising how far it is walking round the ship. And when you do about 20 laps, you begin to say, hey, this is a route march, this. Because we still had the carty battle dress on because we were still in the Atlantic or wherever we were through the Bay of Biscay. I'm not very good at directions in the sea.
And
we did route marches, we did runs on the ship and physical training, and we were on deck doing physical training. We kept pretty busy. There wasn't any time. So I hung about, and then you had to be responsible for your own laundry, you had to do your own washing, you had a certain time, And then it had to be pretty nippy, because I remember Mr. Sutherland Jet. And I went back for my washing one day, and thought it would disappear. So I said, hello, what's on here? Somebody was getting blown overboard. So there was a big one, a row of sinks, and the toilets were behind. And you should go and wash in the sink. And then you should go and peg the things out outside on the, or peg them on a certain place. Like if I didn't peg, it would just come over. And I forget what it was I lost. And I thought, oh well, what's good for one is good for another. So I sat one day and watched the washing being hung out. Not my own company, another company's. So I saw what I was short of. And after they disappeared, I went home and I make the things that I was short of, because the thing on board ship was, if you always go as victim or answer. So I don't mind, and I made sure after that, because I didn't find them any of it. Now we did the crossing of the line.
Before we come to that, were you allowed to wear your boots on the ship? I think marching round the decks would wear the floor a bit.
Yes, I think we wore sandals. That's a point I couldn't swear to. And I think we wore.
Did you do guard duties? Did you have duties to do? And did you get involved in this?
The army routine was involved. They stripped the army routine and more. It's not as rigorous, but it was still carried on.
How did they keep you occupied? Other than the things you've mentioned, of course.
And there were great games going on board the ship. I was an associate from a bingo run by two old LPS, two old kids who run a bingo. The thought they would ask me, because being the corporal, that I was going to get out here. So I said, well, if I play this team, I can't realise and know what I know now about all soldiers. I said, the money will be cut 3 years, not 2 years. So we were on the big rope. And then there was illicit sessions of Find a Lady going on, illicit sessions of Bragg, illicit sessions of the games of cards all over the ship. And this is why you could go, you were free to wander the ship, except you were not allowed onto the officer's deck, or the deck that the Queen Anne nurse is on. That was left to the officers to make love to the Queen Anne nurse and keep us out and go. But as far as the activities, there were all sorts of handicaps going on. Basic handicaps, boards. There were some people who were great card players. I forget the name. What do you call the board that kicked the matches in?
Crown and Anchor, wasn't it?
Crown and Anchor. All the Crown and Anchor boards operated legally down below. And you could get a job being lookout, you see. All these things are running over. The lower decks are all over the lookout, so all the two down there are new rooms on that. And the ropes are out in different areas to see if there are any officers or certain crews or any of the ship companies. And it's a bell of my common on that time of the age schools. We had 50, we can go from one to another. Wherever the pressure is highest, not enjoying it. There was a trade that they had a good campaign on board the ship. And we were allowed to stood by the ship, we stood up and raised the bottles. We were still grossly waving was given from the government to move the bedroom on the deck when it was warm.